I remember that you broke a lot of promises to me.
I did.
I could see that you were keeping promises to other people, but you were breaking promises to me all the time. And there again, I wasn't your priority. You weren't putting me ahead of everyone else in your life. Has your marriage been shattered by sexual betrayal? Are you wondering if it's possible to save your marriage, or even if you want to?
Your story matters, and there is hope for your marriage through Christ Jesus. Welcome to Beyond Broken Vows podcast. I'm Johnny.
I'm Emily.
And friends, we've been where you are.
Our marriage vows were shattered by adultery fueled by pornography. But through a commitment to recovery, our faith in God, and our hope for redemption, we set out on a journey of healing. Now our marriage is better than we ever could have imagined, and we give God all the glory.
On our show, we'll talk through difficult topics, infidelity, porn addiction, recovery, and more. So if you're ready to move from pain-filled todays into hope-filled tomorrows, grab your favorite beverage and spend a little time with us.
Marriage is redeemed.
Hearts renewed.
On Beyond Broken Vows podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Beyond Broken Vows podcast. We are your hosts, Johnny and Emily Spiegelmeyer.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us again today.
You know, Emily, one of the joys of being out on the property where we live is the animals. They present us with so many opportunities to experience new things.
Yes, they sure do. What are you referring to today, Johnny?
Well, so our latest experience as we are recording this, we are sitting in our home office studio. There's a lot of slashes in there.
Yeah.
But also a peacock egg incubator room.
Right.
So you had just recently started incubating some eggs from our peacocks, and the room started smelling really, really bad.
Yeah, I thought actually it was one of the cats, because one of the cats was having some serious diarrhea for a few days, and I thought one of them had gotten in here and done something, but... Yeah, I had searched high and low, and I even used the black light, and I couldn't find anything. No marking, no spraying, no poo.
Yes, yes.
So I was like a little perplexed about the smell, but we did discover what that was.
What did you find?
Oh my gosh. One of the older peacock eggs that I put in the incubator exploded.
Oh.
And it was... just so rotten. It was green goo. And oh my goodness, smell so bad. And so I had to take it all apart and wash it thoroughly and put it all back together. But you know what? That smell is still lingering just a little bit. I think it's probably going to take a few days to dissipate.
So if it sounds like we're crying and sniffling, it may not be because we're being emotional this time.
Right?
It might be because that blown up rotten peacock egg has just gotten all up in us and we're working through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, enough of that for today. Thank you for bearing with us while we share a little bit of our personal life with you. But before we do get going any further, we have a review to share.
Yes, from Shauna.
Yes.
She titles this Real, Raw, and So Good. Johnny, would you read that for us?
Yes. So it says, Johnny and Emily are so real in this podcast. It's refreshing and yet almost too raw to hear at times. My husband and I are traveling down this road to recovery from infidelity and addiction, and this podcast is so very good for us. It has already helped my husband reach out to others in church for an accountability partner, and for support for both of us on our journey. Thank you for your open and honest vulnerability, even when it's so obvious that it's still painful in doing so. God is so good, even though we are so undeserving. Praising Jesus for such real followers as Johnny and Emily.
Oh, wow, Shauna, thank you so much for that wonderful review, and also for giving credit to God. He is so good. It warms our hearts to know that sharing our story is helping others. And we also give God all the glory.
Amen.
So thank you again for sharing that. And friends, we invite you to work with us to help you navigate the difficult nuances of your broken marriage. Our coaching program will help you discover God's plan for you and your spouse to experience healing and restoration, resulting in a better marriage than you can even imagine possible. So head on over to coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com. That's coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com. So the title of our show today is Sobriety versus Recovery. So we have a couple of questions we want to ask our listeners.
Yes.
Wives, has your husband stopped his acting out behavior and is even showing some behaviors that you appreciate, but you still feel like he isn't a changed man? Do you still feel the distance between you? Like he doesn't really see you?
Husbands, are you doing all the things your wife has requested and feel like you're moving forward in recovery, but she isn't responding the way you hope or expect?
Well, today we're going to talk about something that, Johnny, you and I have experienced, and now we're seeing it in many of our clients and hearing it from our listeners who write in.
Yes.
Husbands who are sober but not actively recovering. Well, what's the difference? We're going to go ahead and dive into it, but first, Johnny, would you please pray us in?
Yes. Father, thank you so much for giving us this day and this platform from which we can give clarity and understanding to something that seems senseless and doesn't make sense at times. So, Father, as we go through our content today of sobriety versus recovery, we pray, Father, that we would have our ears of grace on and our minds of understanding and hearts that are ready to be compassionate. So, Lord, thank you for giving us this time today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, sobriety versus recovery. That's a question I don't know if many people have mulled over before. I hadn't until recently, actually.
Yeah, we've been coaching with folks recently where this idea has come to the surface that there are husbands out there who are sober from their acting out behaviors, and yet the wives are still not feeling like they're connecting in a very meaningful way, as though something is just not quite there.
It's like something's not right, but they can't put their finger on it. Or they're just disappointed because they thought their husband being sober would make things way different.
So you and I were going over this, trying to figure out maybe what is at play here. And this is what we've come down to, is that there really is, in some ways, a sobriety versus recovery contention. So we have this statement that came out of our conversation that says, you cannot have recovery without sobriety, but you can have sobriety without recovery.
Yeah. Go ahead and say that one more time, honey.
Okay. You can't have recovery without sobriety, but you can have sobriety without recovery.
So we're going to go ahead and break that down and talk about what sobriety is, what sobriety is not, and what recovery is, what recovery looks like, and then finally, what a wife is looking for in a husband who is on that road to recovery.
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So stick with us. We're going to get there.
Right. Stick with us all the way to the end. Here we go. So at the very top, what is sobriety? Sobriety, first of all, is not acting out. Whatever your acting out behavior is, you're no longer doing that. You have actually set the physical behavior aside, and you are no longer doing it.
So you're sober. Sobriety is also something that a person can be proud of, because it's a big deal to be sober from an addiction.
Yes, it is something that we can be proud of, but not something that we take pride in.
Right.
Also, sobriety is something to be grateful for. I know that I'm personally grateful for my sobriety, because the more sobriety I get under my belt, the more it solidifies my recovery as a whole.
Yes, and also, sobriety is really necessary for recovery, but it's just the beginning of the recovery process.
It is. And it can be said simply like this. Sobriety is kindergarten in the school of recovery.
It's a good first step, but there's a whole lot that's going to come after it.
That's right. So we've just touched a little bit on what sobriety is. Let's go on now to what sobriety is not.
Sobriety is not the end goal of your recovery. It's just the kickoff to a complete recovery.
And sobriety alone is not enough to heal the person or the marriage.
Yes, that is so true.
You know, Emily, in one of my recovery groups, we had a fellow that shared when he was feeling like maybe his wife wasn't acknowledging him enough in his recovery process. And he tells her, hey, you know, I've really kind of put a whole lot of work into this. And she replied back to him, all right, then, congratulations on not sleeping with a prostitute.
Oh, ouch.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what a wife can feel like when her husband is taking these steps in the beginning and he's gaining some traction and he knows what's going on inside of him, but she doesn't really know. She can't read his mind. She can only see what he's displaying. And maybe he's not yet displaying those things that she really wants to see. So, yeah, he can be proud of his progress, but fellas, don't be counting on your wife patting you on the back. It's going to take a while.
Like we were saying before, it's really just the beginning. There's so much more, and that's what we really want to get into today. Suppose you're up working on an extension ladder, leaning up next to the house. Maybe you're putting up Christmas lights, but something shifts and you fall off the ladder, fall to the ground, and you break your leg. Then you just get up and you limp away with a broken leg and you never go back to the ladder again. And that is what sobriety without recovery looks like. You're just not returning back to the ladder. Now, recovery is trying to understand why you fell off the ladder. It is addressing the broken leg. You're going to talk to somebody about it. You're going to find out what happened. How bad is the damage? You're going to go in and assess it. You're going to set that leg. You're going to put it into a cast, and then you're going to learn how to walk on that leg again. And that is just a simple way to illustrate the difference between sobriety and recovery. You have to be able to step away from the ladder for a period of time so that you can experience the recovery of that leg healing. But at some point, you're going to have a healthy relationship with that ladder again.
Yes, because if we are assuming that that ladder is a sexual relationship and the shift was moving outside of your marriage for a sexual experience, and that's what caused the fall and the broken leg. And so, yes, you're going to use that ladder again someday, but the healing has to take place first.
That's correct.
We're going to talk now about recovery. And we have done a lot of talk about recovery. In fact, we have a series of episodes on the 12 steps of recovery through Sex Addicts Anonymous. So if you have any questions about how to go through the specific steps of recovery, you can refer back to those. But basically, what we want to remind everyone is that recovery is regaining what was lost, stolen, or given away.
That's right, Emily. Recovery is also heart change versus behavior modification.
Absolutely.
Now, we spoke about this in one of our recovery episodes, that if we don't take the time to get in and really tinker under the hood and figure out what went wrong, especially with ourselves and what behaviors were we displaying, what mental and emotional attitudes, like Alcoholics Anonymous has coined the phrase, put the plug in the jug. If that's all we're doing, that's behavior modification, which is good and necessary, but that's what they call being a dry drunk.
Yeah, because you cannot be drinking, but you can still be an asshole. Can I say that?
I think you just did.
Okay, yeah.
So when we're talking about what recovery is, we're really talking about moving beyond sobriety and just putting the plug in the jug and moving into unfolding the real issues behind what is going on.
And it's more than just checking the boxes.
Yes.
I know a lot of wives see that their husbands are doing this recovery thing, going to meetings, talking to people, getting some counseling, and those are all wonderful things. But the attitude behind it seems to only be that they're doing the things that they know that they're supposed to do to try to make it right.
Yes.
And there's no real heart change that's going on in addition to it. And that is what's so evident to some of these wives. I felt that early on in your recovery process. But in time, you did recognize that recovery had to be for you and not for me. And I think that is a switch that happened in your mind to take it from checking off boxes into really digging into yourself and having self-awareness and really rooting out why this happened and how this happened and how you can prevent it from happening again.
Yes, Emily. One of the best days of my recovery is the day that I came home and told you that I'm no longer recovering for you or for my senior pastor or for my ministry leaders, but I'm recovering now for myself. And yet at that time, I was really a little apprehensive to come do that because a statement like that sounds a little selfish.
Yeah, it sure can. But you know what? I was so glad to hear it.
You were, and you displayed that to me, not exuberantly, but you affirmed that and said, you know, Johnny, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am that that's true. All the while, you're still hurt.
Yes.
Because when we bring this up, it can always be such a sobering discussion. It's not like you threw your arms around my neck, kiss me saying, "Oh, Johnny, I think that's so wonderful. What a great breakthrough," and all that. No, I didn't get that. And I wasn't expecting that anyway.
Yeah.
But you did let me know that that's really what you were looking for. And I just want to take one moment to say this. Men, we severely underestimate our wives when we believe for a moment that they can't see through us just checking off boxes. We can honestly believe that we are doing all the right things, but we're doing it because we're trying to get out of trouble. We're trying to make it right and trying to take the heat off. And we really need to get to a place where our whole attitude changes to where now we are trying to dig much deeper so that we can give our wives what they need to heal. Even to say, as I heal, I have something to offer you, Emily, so that you can heal.
Yes. And you know what? Healing is possible without any input from your husband, but it sure does help. It sure makes it easier. And then you're a team. You're doing this together. And that is very important.
Well, that's what we were designed for in marriage.
Yes. Yes. We're actually one person, like we talked about last week. We're one person. So when one hurts, the other hurts. And that's the way it should be.
So, Emily, where sobriety is about what you are not doing, that's acting out, recovery is all about what you are doing. We have a list here of recovery activities that are involved with the recovery process.
Yeah. So we're just going to highlight five of these recovery activities. And guys, you might want to jot this down. Acknowledging the truth and coming out of denial. Surrendering to God. Addressing the real issues. Making it right. And repeat daily.
This sounds really good. So let's get into it.
And remember, these activities go beyond just being sober. First, it's acknowledging the truth and coming out of denial.
Yes, acknowledging the truth of where you are and the hurt that you've caused, but also coming out of the denial that it's not as bad as your wife is making it out to be.
Yeah, because actually it's probably a whole lot worse.
I would agree.
Another activity is surrendering to God, because we believe, Johnny, that that's the only way to completely recover from sexual betrayal trauma.
That's correct. A big piece would be missing if you leave God out of it.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I learned through the SAA program that I had no clue about before was addressing the real issues. What really happened in your life to create this problem that exhibited itself through sexual integrity issues as a result of the lies that you believed from the time that you got into this addiction when you were just a child and created these defects in your character that over time compounded things like entitlement, selfishness, pride, lying, having anxiety, being fearful. There's a whole list, like 120 of them on the internet that you can look up right to see what character defects you might have as an addict. So addressing those and really digging in to find out what they are and how you can turn those from defects into assets.
That's correct. Acknowledging the truth and coming out of denial and then surrendering to God gave me the capacity to be able to go in and dig down into these issues. It gave me the will to do it. Like, I want to go find out what happened, but then God gave me the power to be able to do it because it was a little bit of a painful process learning the truth about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that I had fear and I was covering it up with anger. I didn't know that I had anxiety and that I was passing that off onto the family. I just didn't know these things existed because my emotional understanding was so narrowed down to just being sad, mad, or glad, that I couldn't really gain a concept of it. So this was really a pivoting point, was addressing those issues that, in the context of today's conversation, really moves you far beyond just sobriety. And as I address these character defects on a daily basis, I now have a gift to offer you. And that gift is transparency and vulnerability.
Yes. Like you said, I think that is key in someone going just from checking the boxes into real full-blown actual recovery.
That's right.
Okay. A couple more activities in a good recovery process is making it right.
Yes.
Like making amends.
That's right.
And then just repeating all of that daily. Creating a track record of trustworthiness.
You said that rightly, Emily, because I broke your trust, and it's not a given that you will trust me that I can show up as a trustworthy man each day, and that you can look into and view and observe and find confidence in.
Yes.
So if we work our recovery through the lens of what our wives need, then we get the opportunity to present a better version of ourselves to our wives. And a lot of what we're about to discuss in this next section will be a natural byproduct of our recovery.
Yeah, that sounds really great, Johnny. But I want to clarify for our listeners, because earlier we mentioned that recovery for an addict should be done for themselves rather than for somebody else.
Right.
And now we're saying that it should be done through the lens of what their wife needs. It might seem like that's two different things, but to clarify, if an addict is a single person, then recovery, yes, is all about what they should be doing to recover for themselves. But if you're married, then there is another person in the picture. And we talked last week about being one flesh. So recovery in a marriage needs to take into consideration what your partner is also needing from you in your recovery. Is that what we really want to convey?
Yes, Emily, that's exactly what we want to convey, is the principle of a godly marriage being of one flesh.
All right, Johnny. So this is the big reveal. This is the part that we really want the betraying spouse to hear. The evidence of recovery that a wife needs from her husband.
That's right.
Johnny, tell us, what does a betrayed wife need to see in her husband's recovery process to start her own process of grieving her losses, having a sense of safety, feeling validated in her pain, and embarking on that journey of trusting again?
So husbands, you're really going to want to write this down. The first need for your wife is for you to see her pain. Second, emotional maturity. Third, spiritual leadership. Fourth, prioritizing her and the family. Fifth, keeping promises. And sixth, showing kindness out of genuine care for her and not for your own agenda.
Yeah, let's go ahead and unpack that a little bit, because we hear this from a lot of wives who are hurting because they're not getting the things on this list from their husband. He might be sober and he might think that he's recovering and he wants to just put it all behind him.
Yes.
But we have come to understand that you can't put this issue behind you. You have to go through it to get over it.
And for the men who are maintaining sobriety and not acting out, it can seem as though you're doing everything that needs to be done, but your wife isn't seeing or feeling a real connection. And so there's more, and we're going to get into that. Emily, you wanted to know that I saw your pain.
Yes, and I remember it took, I don't even know how long, that you just were not getting it. And I was so frustrated and so hurt that you couldn't understand the ramifications of what you had done to me personally.
Right.
Because in your mind, this was something that you did that wasn't about me. So why would it have hurt me so much? But oh my goodness, any kind of betrayal is painful. But sexual betrayal goes so deep. I remember one time in the kitchen, I was just so frustrated. I had sunk down to the floor. I was sitting on the floor in the corner and I started to bang my head on the wall.
Right.
Because you just weren't seeing my pain. And I just wanted you to acknowledge it. I wanted you to say something, anything that showed me how much you know you hurt me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting that.
Earlier when we were talking about this, you remembered something you said to me. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you know, you were being very stoic and you were trying to not let your emotions get out of control. So you're being more silent than you have ever been in your life. And you weren't really expressing your emotions at all. And I couldn't see into you. And I cried out, fight for me, say something, anything, fight for me, Johnny. And you didn't do it that day, but you did eventually come around to that realization that the hurt that you had caused me was so deep and that you needed to acknowledge my pain to help me to move past that.
Yes. I'm so grateful that I found the capacity to do that, but it took a lot of help from God and a lot of surrender on my part.
Yeah, and a kick in the pants for me once in a while.
Absolutely. So, next on that list is emotional maturity. We just got finished talking about some aspects of emotional maturity because we were speaking of intimacy in our last episode. And transparency, vulnerability, and rigorous honesty are also three keys to emotional maturity, which are also part of intimacy, which we were just speaking of as well.
Yeah, it all goes together, doesn't it? And we have heard many times from the experts that when a person gets involved in an addiction, they stop maturing at that age emotionally.
Yes.
And so a lot of times we're marrying these men thinking that we're marrying a man, but we're really marrying a man child because emotionally they haven't learned how to express emotion, how to understand emotion, how to handle their emotions in a healthy way.
Right.
So, yes, that's one thing that's very important to have in a marriage is two adults who are emotionally healthy, and that cultivates a healthy marriage.
You unfortunately married an emotional 10 to 12 year old, which means emotionally I was acting out like a child. So that's where those behaviors came from. I myself was not a child, but I was being childish. So next one on the list is spiritual leadership.
Huge. This is huge for Christian married couples.
Yes.
God intends for the husband to be the spiritual head of the home. But when he is not able to, or he's unwilling to, the wife has to step into that role that she was not meant to be in.
Or even worse, just do nothing about it, and then both of them spiritually decline or fade away.
Right. So that's a huge thing that a wife needs to see as evidence of recovery. The husband's willingness to seek the Lord and to surrender to Him and to obey Him.
Absolutely. Next on our list, Emily, is prioritizing the wife and family above your own priorities.
Yeah, the wife wants to know that she has a place in her husband's hierarchy that is above every other human on the planet.
Right. You certainly understand that I need to go to work
Yeah,
and provide a living. You're depending on it.
absolutely. But I do want to feel that you would rather be home with me, or that you're excited to come home to me after you're working. Or in our example, in the last few years before Discovery, you were doing a lot of ministry and you were going off on all these trips and doing this work without me. But I was feeling very neglected and abandoned because your attitude was that that was more important than me. And that's a trap I think a lot of Christian men who are in ministry, they fall into that, putting their ministry ahead of their family. That is not what God intends.
And it's even possible that as a Christian wife, you would find it challenging or difficult or be unwilling to even bring that up.
Yeah, because it's ministry, right? It's kingdom work. So, as a Christian wife, how are you supposed to navigate that when trying to get your own needs met? It's a very difficult place to be in. And when the husband is ignoring those needs, the wife can really feel very diminished and in the background and taken for granted.
Yes, that's right. So the next one we have, Emily, is keeping promises. And what we mean here is that you say what you mean what you say, but never say it mean.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I remember that you broke a lot of promises to me.
I did.
I could see that you were keeping promises to other people, to your customers, to your ministry leaders, to friends, but you were breaking promises to me all the time. And there again, I wasn't your priority. You weren't putting me ahead of everyone else in your life.
Right.
It's super important for a husband and a wife to keep promises to each other because not doing that erodes the bond that you have as one flesh.
Yes, and Emily, sometimes it can be just the little promises that you break that add up over time, like, hey, honey, would you get to this? And I say, yes, I'll get that done. And then because it's not a priority to me, I put it off, I blow it off, and I go on to something else, and I've broken that promise to you. And that's a very common behavior. It doesn't have to be a big promise that says that I will always love you, honor you, and cherish you, but I can break those little promises every day. And like you said, it starts to erode that bond when I don't say what I mean and mean what I say.
Yeah, super important. And so what's the last one, sweetie?
The last one is showing kindness out of a genuine care for her and not for his own agenda. You need to see her need and fill her need, not so that you can feel better about you, but so she can get that need met because she needs that need met.
Yeah, it's a genuine care. It's a care that says, I see you, I want to help you, I want to meet your needs, without it being attached to something that's going to benefit you.
That's right.
This is not an exhaustive list, honey. We're just hitting the highlights here. And I'm sure every wife listening is probably able to articulate more of her needs and wants and desires from her husband that would help her heart to heal and allow her to respond with the love that she currently is protecting and hiding away because it's too painful to show that love when she feels like all of these needs are not being met.
Emily, that was well said. Thank you so much. And we just wanted to wrap all of this up by saying sobriety is not a bad thing. We're not here to demonize sobriety.
Yeah, it's absolutely a really good thing.
I am a huge fan of it, and Emily is too. It is the foundation of recovery. But remember, if we're building a house, we don't live on the foundation. We have walls, and we have a roof, and we have windows, and we have doors, and all that stuff is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And so sobriety is good, sobriety is necessary, but there's so much more.
So much more.
It's not about what you're not doing, and it's not about being in trouble. It's about being able to reach out and have so much more. We've heard the saying about playing in the sandbox on the beach. You know, you're content in that little sandbox when you have this vast beach to play on, and you're just not taking advantage of it.
Right.
So our encouragement today is get involved in recovery. It's so worth it when you do.
Yeah, it is so worth it. Thank you, Johnny. So what is the word that we have for everyone today?
The word we have today comes out of Philippians chapter 1 in verse 6 out of NIV. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ.
And here's the hope. We see two things in that verse. First, God has already begun the good work in us, and he is faithful to complete it. So if we can cooperate with what he's already doing, we'll be amazed at what he accomplishes in us and in our marriages. So if you're listening to our podcast today, be assured he has already begun the good work in you.
Emily, well said. Thank you so much. Would you pray us out?
Yes. Heavenly Father, you are so good and so faithful. And we trust that you are doing the good work in us. We love you and believe in you and want to follow you and obey you. So help us to cooperate with you, God. Sometimes it's really hard to do the things that we know we need to do. So we ask Holy Spirit for guidance, for wisdom and discernment as we move through the recovery process, through the healing journey of sexual betrayal. It's a tough road. It's a bumpy one, but it's full of victories too. And as we get farther down the road on our recovery journey, we can celebrate the wins and we can experience the joy that you intended for us. So we thank you for all of this revelation and we ask for the courage to walk it out. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. So we have just a couple of things that we want to give you for today. So men, take a good look at where you are. Are you content with sobriety, just not acting out? Or do you desire full recovery so you can be healed and offer a healing, maturing husband to your wife?
And wives, if you don't see your husband doing more than just not acting out, be brave and find your voice. Let him know what you need to see him doing for recovery and set appropriate boundaries for your own safety and healing. However, if you do see your husband actively working recovery, be generous with your affirmation of his efforts. That will go a long way in helping him to continue on that path.
And if you're looking for any help with any of this, go ahead and book a coaching call with either one of us at coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com and let us walk through some of this with you.
Yeah, you don't have to do this alone.
That's right.
And if you have any questions for us regarding any of the things that we've been talking about today or in our previous mini-series on sexual intimacy, go ahead and write to us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com.
So join us next week for our 50th episode, where we will be talking about thriving versus surviving after sexual betrayal in marriage.
So until next time,
marriage is redeemed,
hearts renewed on Beyond Broken Vows podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. And before you go, if this podcast encouraged you and you're feeling some hope for today, please share this show with someone else you know who's going through a similar situation and needs to know they're not alone. One of the best ways you can help us reach more people is to leave us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. And as always, we would love to hear from you with questions and comments. Just email us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com. As you walk out this journey one day at a time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.